You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You join us ahead of Monday's racing, where we've got action over the jumps at Kempton and Newcastle, weather permitting, and the Norweather flat card at Wolverhampton. It'll be Dave Kellner, Sam Turner and Andy Holding in the studio from 1:10pm on Racing Radio. Be joining myself, Sam Norris, ahead of all the action to look ahead to four contests on Monday, as well as a spin through some of the latest news, is Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks, Sam. Very well.
Good stuff. We'll start with a look back and a reflection on Saturday's action at Ascot and indeed elsewhere as well. It was a really good day of racing, and the William Mullins Irish Raiding Party had another successful day. I think in his last six runners in Britain, that's five firsts and a second.
Yeah, it's a good strike rate. He's obviously been bringing a few more horses over for different races away from the festival. Obviously, he pinpoints the Cheltenham Festival with his stars in March, but you know, away from that week of great race, and he has brought more horses over, and he even had a listed winner at Taunton, I think it was, with a mare. So it's good to see. Vroom Vroom Mag, obviously, she's definitely put herself right in the picture for the World Hurdle at Cheltenham. It was a really good performance. She's a big, strong type. I think she relishes the heavy ground. The only question I would have for her is, you know, will she be able to mix it with some real top-class horses over 3 miles on a quicker surface? But a real good performance yesterday. And under, so, you know, if he completes in the champion chase, he's going to win, isn't he? He can only beat himself.
Yeah.
You know, and I think once the freshness was out the way yesterday, you seen him jump really well. He got in close to a couple, but he put himself right at those fences, and it was a real good performance. I like the ease, how easily he'd done it. You know, Ruby didn't have to get serious with him, and he just pulled a couple of lengths clear of Sir de Grugy approaching the last fence, and he was never going to come back, Sir de Grugy, from there. And I think if Ruby had to get serious, he would have definitely found more. And I think he'll take all the beating in the champion chase in 6 weeks' time or so.
Yeah, it was certainly very good for a lot of people to see him just tighten up on the jump in there, and there will have been a lot of keen eyes on that. He's now 4-5 with us here for the champion chase. We know that's his intended destination. Just to go back to Vroom Vroom Mag, 9-2 for the World Hurdle, 4-1 for the Mare's Hurdle. Obviously, they've got another very good individual in Annie Power as well. Which route do you see Vroom Vroom Mag going, and does it all depend on Annie Power and where she goes?
I think Annie Power will go the Mare's Hurdle. Obviously, you know, Annie Power's going to go to the festival fresh. I think it'll be an easier race to win the Mare's Hurdle for a horse that hasn't had a run. Mm. You know, going in the World Hurdle first time up is a big ask for any horse. So I think Annie Power will definitely go Mare's Hurdle, and Vroom Vroom Mag, who has been rerouted from fences to hurdles this year, has had a great preparation, you know, and looks absolutely spot on to challenge the likes of Thistle Crack in that 3 mile contest.
Yeah, and of course, it wouldn't be the first time a horse has not had a race all year and then gone and popped up in the mares. We saw Quivega do it to expert effect, really.
Yeah, definitely. It is, you know, a much weaker race than the World Hurdle. So I think Annie Power, who was a very unfortunate loser in the race last year, will be seeking some compensation this time around in that mares hurdle.
Yeah, absolutely. £100,000 Willie Mullins took back to Ireland yesterday, Craig. There's been a little bit of talk recently as to whether he can win the Trainers' Championship in Britain. And he's now been backed right the way into 10 to 11 each of two, Paul Nicholls and William Mullins. 16s bar those two. It was almost a bit of a pipe dream when people started mentioning it a few weeks ago, but he really is closing the gap.
He is, definitely. And, you know, if you look to the first day of the festival last year, he pocketed 400,000.
Mm.
Obviously, the prize money, I think, has increased again this time around. So, you know, after day one of the Cheltenham Festival, there may be very little in it. And so I think Willie Mullins, of those two, has to be a decent bet. I think he's, although, what has he got, 400,000 or 500,000 to make up?
And
at the moment, I think he's the one I would have favourite of the two, to be honest.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Be inclined to agree with you there. Just before we move away from Saturday, away from the headline names and the Mullins hot pots, was there anything else that caught the eye?
Yeah, there's a few good performances yesterday. Jibril Faro was obviously impressive again in the juvenile hurdle. That was a real good performance. He looks a horse that's all about stamina. And at Ascot, at Haydock, it's a freebie. You know, very impressive in the Grade 2 Novices Hurdle. Clocked a quicker time than the new one over the same course and distance. So that rates a real good performance by It's a Freebie. Been a very good horse in La Presienne, Paul Nichols. And I think that's strong form. So It's a Freebie could be one to keep an eye out over the coming weeks and months. And, you know, given the size of him, I think next year he'll be seen to good effect over fences.
Okay, one or two to take out of the racing on Saturday there for Craig. Just before we get stuck in to Monday's action, just want to have a quick word with you on Failing's Boy. You pointed out a few weeks ago that he looks the most interesting and could be a value option for the Gold Cup. Rebecca Curtis confirming this morning that he'll head to Cheltenham for the Betbright Chase and has a chance to test himself against the anti-post favourite Jackadam. Will that be a big pointer to his Gold Cup credentials?
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, it looks a fantastic Gold Cup. Mm. It really does. One of the best for many, many years. But when you look at it, and I've had another look at the race this morning, Jackadam's performance in the race last year still sets a standard for me. That was a really, really good performance. And you can expect better this time around. So, yeah, O'Fanlon's Boy, who bounced back tremendously well at Newbury last time. His jumping was a joy to watch. He's a former RSA winner, so we know he handles the track really well. You know, he's going to test his credentials really against Jackadam. It'll be a real good race in the Betbright Chase at Cheltenham next Saturday. Really looking forward to it. But, you know, even if he, you know, was to give Jackadam a real good race, you've got to expect these odds to shorten from the current 25-1.
Yeah.
I do think he is the value in the race at this moment in time. Jackadam is definitely the right favourite based on his effort in the race last year. But O'Fanlon's Boy, you know, we know he was good a couple of years ago when he won the RSA. He's bounced back now at Newbury, and it should be a real good contest on Saturday. So if anyone is interested in O'Fanlon's Boy, you know, the 25-1 now looks the time to play before he runs next week.
Certainly does, yeah. As Craig said, 25-1, the price of O'Fanlon's Boy. Jackadam remains the 7-2 market leader for the Gold Cup, ahead of Don Cossack at 5-1, Vitor at 11-2, Don Polly at 6, Q Card 7-1, and Tenzil Bigger the rest of them. We're non-runner money back on the Gold Cup, as we are indeed on all the champion races now at Cheltenham, so do check that out on the William Hill website. But we'll move ahead now to look at some of the action on Monday. As I said, two jumps meetings for us. Newcastle pending an 8 a.m. inspection. We've got two from Kempton, one from Newcastle, and one from the All-Weather at Wolverhampton to look at on this edition of the podcast. And we start with Kempton's 105. This is a 3-mile conditional jockeys handicap hurdle. It's a class 5 event with 18 runners to sort out. This is a bit of a puzzle, Craig.
Yeah, I don't know what I've done to deserve a race like this on the podcast, Sam. You look at the other three races we've got to come, and we've got a chance of backing a winner. But we've got an 18-runner handicap here to try and solve. Yeah, it's difficult. Shoefly Millie is where I'm going to go for Jeremy Scott. This is a mare by Milan. I thought she plugged on okay at Exeter last time. I didn't think she was entirely in love with the real heavy ground on that occasion. And conditions will be slightly more in her favour at Kempton on Monday, but the interesting angle is the fitting of the first time blinkers, and off a mark in 93, I think she could be well treated. I mean, although, you know, we've got 18 runners, it's a race that isn't going to take a lot of winning, and there's some very, very slow horses in this race. Very few are unexposed. I don't like ride on time at all. Very disappointing display at Market Raisin last time. Showed signs of attitude that I didn't really like. I think I'll take a chance here with a horse wearing blinkers for the first time, and Shoefly Millie for Jeremy Scott.
Okay, Shoefly Millie then getting the pick for Craig in the 105. We stay at Kempton for our next race on today's podcast. This is their 3:45, a 2.5-mile handicap chase here with 9 runners down to contest this class 2. What stood out to you, Craig?
Yeah, I think Stellan Notion will be favourite here, Sam, for this race. But he's impossible to back on his effort at Newbury at the end of November. Yeah, that was his first start for Paul Nichols, and the Roger Brookhouse horses all came back into training very late. So, you know, you would expect to see him a lot fitter 58 days on, but it was still a very, very poor effort. He was eventually pulled up, beaten a long way in that contest. And, you know, for a horse that's likely to start favourite, he still has a few questions to answer. So I'll be passing him over. I think the value may lie here with Barrachilla. I think the step back up and trip is very much in his favour. You know, running over 2 miles at Sandown last time, he just failed to pick up in the real heavy ground. I think he's a better horse on a better surface, and over 2.5 miles around Kempton, it looks sure to suit. His previous run at Taunton was a real good effort, finishing second to David Pipe's Balgarry. And on that, he doesn't look badly handicapped on 1.36. I think he's still got races in him from this mark, and he's the one I would side with in this contest.
Okay, then Barrachilla for Evan Williams and Adam Wedge in the 3.45. We'll go to Newcastle now for their 3.35. This is a handicap chase over almost 3 miles, 2.7 miles and a bit. This is a class three with 9 runners down to contest it, and quite a few bring winning form into the race, Craig.
This is a real good race for Newcastle on a Monday. You know, one for Arthur Head's away tier, rated 135. I mean, he's been keeping good company in novice events, but Lucinda Russell's horses have just gone off the boil a little bit in the last couple of weeks, and coming into a handicap off this mark, he just needs to brush up his jumping a little bit, carrying a big weight. So, but we'll be interesting to see how he gets on in a first-time handicap over fences. So he's an interesting runner, but I'm a huge fan of Sue Smith's runner here, Smooth Stepper. He was a winner over this course and distance on his penultimate start. He was pitched in at the deep end in a Grade 2 event at Doncaster last time, which far too early in that race when he departed to say whether he would have played a part or not in the finish. But coming back into a handicap of 130, you know, that's going to be a great emphasis on stamina here. Let's hope they get the green light to race at Newcastle on Monday. It will be very, very testing, and that will, you know, definitely play to the strengths of Smooth Stepper. I think he's got a big chance here. He's on the upgrade, and I think there's more to come from him on a mark of 130.
Okay, Smooth Stepper for Craig, then the combination of Sue Smith and Danny Cook in that 3.35 at Newcastle. We're taking one from the all-weather now for the final race on today's podcast. This is a 5.30 at Wolverhampton, a condition stakes here over a mile and a furlong. It's a Class 2 event with 5 runners. They never attract the biggest fields, these condition stakes, Craig, but they're normally pretty interesting.
Yeah, this is a hard race, 5 runners, Sam, and for the simple fact that there doesn't appear to be any real pace angle in the race. You know, it could be a real tactically run affair. You know, the horse that you would like to see make the running is Afonso de Souza under Danny Tudhope. He's raced prominently in his recent starts. Last time at Chelmsford, when he drew alongside our channel, he just had a look about in the closing stages. It's no surprise to see that the cheek pieces are back on. He certainly looks like a horse that is crying out for some form of headgear. And I think, you know, if Danny Tudhope can take the bull by the horns here and goes to the front, I think he could take a lot of catching, because Basil Berry, you know, has his stamina to prove for this trip. Man of Harlock hated being in front at Lingfield last time, you know, took a real keen hold on that occasion, was much better suited to being held up in a strongly run race on his previous start there. So I don't think he's going to get things his own way here. Solidarity, you know, should run well, but hasn't been in the best of form in recent times. And Starboard, another one that has his stamina to prove. So all points towards Afonso de Souza. I think he can make all, hopefully, if they decide to go at the front with him.
Okay, Craig's thoughts then on the 5.30 at Wolverhampton. Just summarise, please, one more time, your 4 selections for the action on Monday.
Shoefly Millie to get us off to a winning start in the 1.05. In the 3.45 at Kempton, Barrachilla for Evan Williams. I think the best bet of the four by some way is Smooth Stepper in the 3.35 at Newcastle. And finally, in the 5.30 at Wolverhampton, we're going for Afonso de Souza.
Thank you very much, Craig, and enjoy the action.
Thank you, Sam.
And remember to join us here at William Hill Racing Radio on that Monday. We start at 12.55pm. We've got Kempton, Newcastle and Wolverhampton on the agenda with Dave Kellner, Sam Turner and Andy Holding in the Racing Radio studio. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.